Our study this Lord's Day concerns the blood-bought church of the Bible. And there's a great need for this study because of there being so much misunderstanding in the world today concerning the word church. Well, let me give some examples. How many of us say things like, "I'm going to church," or "this is my church," or we ask someone, "where do you go to church?" Well, the blood-bought church of the Bible is not a material building. And we should understand this and be more careful of how we refer to the blood-bought church of the Bible. As we see in Acts 17:24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." We need to understand that. Yes, God does not dwell in temples made with hands, but God does dwell where? In faithful Christians through His Word. Now notice 1 Peter 2:5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Therefore, the church of Christ is a spiritual house. Well, have you ever heard someone say, "one church is as good as another," or "join the church of your choice"? Well, I heard Billy Graham say that in a crusade in Russia on film. And how much that bothered me to hear such a statement. I wasn't there, of course, to accept him as a gospel preacher, but to help others see the error that he was preaching. Now, we need to ask the question, did any of the New Testament-inspired writers make any of these statements that we've just discussed? And we should all know the answer is no. They didn't say one church is good as another or join the church of your choice. There was only one church in the first century, and that was the blood-bought church that we read about in the Word of God, the church of Christ. So the blood-bought church of the Bible is not a denomination. Denominations did not exist in the first century. They began in protest of the Catholic Church hundreds of years later, and this is in history. Remember the term Protestant movement? Well, that's because they protested. And rightly so, but they should have went back to the pattern and restored New Testament Christianity instead of coming up with new churches, denominations that were divided, you see. Should we choose a church other than the Lord's church? Well, what did the Lord choose? He chose His church. We better be choosing as the Lord did. We'll begin our study concerning the blood-bought church of the Bible in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And the initials PFE helps us to remember doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street right here in Martinsville as we gather together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we study God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit. That's with a proper attitude. And in truth. That would be in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention. We look forward to having opportunities of Bible studies. Yes, sitting down together and studying God's Word. And if you're interested in doing that, please let us know. We'll set up a time at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. It's the zip code, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get to our study this morning. And we'll probably need to spend several studies on the blood-bought church of the Bible. So let's begin with a definition. The blood-bought church of the Bible defined. As we look at the word in the Greek for church, it's ekklesia, which simply means the called out. And in the New Testament, the word church is found 80 times, with 18 times being in the book of Acts, 16 being in 1 Corinthians. Now, we who are accountable unto God for our sins, if we're of the age of accountability and have the ability to reason, we are called by the gospel of Christ into the kingdom, which is the church of Christ. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, the same institution. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can be called no other way. We have to learn the truth. We have to learn the gospel of Christ and submit to it, and then we are able to be added unto his kingdom, his church, in other words. Now, we're called out of what? We're called out of a sinful life. We're called out of darkness into light. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We need to be in Christ, in his spiritual body, the called out, the church. In other words, look at Colossians 1:13-14 with me. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So here we have the kingdom of his dear Son, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, yes, the same institution that God established and instituted, of course. Now, the blood-bought church of the Bible, we're defining, again, the characteristics of the church. Let's look at these. They're very important. The blood-bought church of the Bible was God's eternal purpose. In Ephesians 3:8-12, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, Paul is saying, the Apostle Paul here, and of course by inspiration, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, did we note that, hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Here's the church as a illustration of God's wisdom. It's an excellent example. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Eternal purpose. It was in the mind of God before the world began, the plan of redemption, how God would save man from his sins. And the church was a major part of that plan as it was established and built by Christ. The second person of the Godhead shed His precious blood as the purchase price of the church, the blood-bought church of the Bible. Now this proves premillennialism false. It proves it, obviously it's false, if they are teaching that the kingdom is yet to come. No, sir. It was in the mind of God that the church, being the kingdom, would be established shortly after Jesus was crucified. Yes. Notice that the kingdom, the church that we're discussing here, the blood-bought church of the Bible, began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And I want to show again how premillennialism is false. As it came with power. Yes, Mark 9:1, and He said unto them, Jesus did, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now are some people still living today that were living in the first century that heard these words that Jesus spoke? They would be pretty old, wouldn't they? Yes, they would be thousands of years old if the kingdom has not yet come. But it has. It came with power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that is, has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here's an outline of the book of Acts. But our point is, premillennialism is obviously false. To say that Jesus will come in the future and reign for 1,000 years, having then established His kingdom and sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. False, false, false. And people that believe this better get back to the Bible and stay with what God's Word says and give up what man says. That's certainly proven false. But let's go on. Notice Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who is they? Go back up to the previous verse. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell into Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And the connection there, as you begin chapter 2, they has to refer to Matthias and the 11 apostles, as he was numbered with them. That's they. And we need to accept English here as the laws are demanding, you know, to stay with the antecedent here. So it's obvious this is the case. So notice. And they that were one accord in one place, notice what happened. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that is, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did the kingdom come with power as Jesus said it would? We better say yes if we're going to be honest. Of course it did. And notice verse 47. Here in Acts chapter 2, the day the church began in Jerusalem in the first century. praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. That is the blood-bought church of the Bible. And so we've said over and over, it is the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13 and 14 prove that, translated into his kingdom. Now notice, Christ is King of Kings. If you have a kingdom, you have to have a king. You have to have territory. And you have to have law, don't you? Yes. And we have that with the church. We have, of course, the territory being the hearts of the subjects. You have to have subjects to have a kingdom. Christians. And in their heart is the territory. The law is the law of Christ, and Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. Who has what? All authority. Matthew 28:18. All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Having that power, Jesus then commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, the blood-bought church of the Bible has Christ as its foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And certainly Acts 4:10 through 12, Ephesians 2:20 reveal that as well. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now notice, the blood-bought church of the Bible was built by Christ, as we referred to this earlier. Matthew 16:18 and 19. And I say, that is Jesus, also unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, Peter had confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And upon that confession, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, Hades in the Greek, shall not prevail against it. Death is not going to stop it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So when Peter and the other apostles preached the gospel on the day the church began, they opened the door to the church. They had the keys. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. One church was promised, and only one was built. Do we accept that? The blood-bought church of the Bible was purchased by Christ. We need to understand this, of course. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, Paul speaking to the elders of the church of Christ in Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost in the King James, hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. What's the purchase price? The blood of Christ. To say that the church is non-essential is to say that the blood of Christ is non-essential. I don't want to be anywhere close to such a foolish statement. The church is not essential. Oh boy. Well, let's go on. The blood-bought church of the Bible is the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. How many brides does Christ have? Well, we better say one, or we would be putting Christ in an adultery situation, would we not? In Ephesians 5:23-26, note, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, This is the new birth. As Jesus told Nicodemus, except ye be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't do that without being obedient to the gospel. In other words, hearing the word of God and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins after having, of course, heard the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, getting out of a sinful life and doing the will of God, making the good confession would have to be made, and then baptism into Christ where we contact His precious blood. You see, we need to appreciate the Word of God and stay with it. Yes, the blood-bought church of the Bible is the bride of Christ. It is the spiritual body of Christ with Christ as its head. Look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Who misunderstands that? Well, it shouldn't be misunderstood. We see that Christ is the head over the church, which is His body. He only has one body, and He's the fullness and all in all. And we should answer, how many bodies does Christ have? Of course, one, clearly, is the answer. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. That's about as plain as you could get it. It is as plain as you can get it. This is the Word of God, Savior of the body. The blood-bought church of the Bible is where the saved are at it. Again, we note Acts 2:47 we read earlier, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. The Lord added. Notice that. To the church. Which church? The church He built, the church He paid for with His blood, that He promised to build, that He's the head of. And it's His body. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. It is not possible to join the blood-bought church of the Bible. You cannot do it. You cannot join the church that Jesus built. You have to be added by Him in obedience to the gospel. That's what it takes for the Lord to add us to His body. So anybody that thinks you can join the church of your choice, you better give that up. And we're here to help you in studying further. It's not to be unkind about it. It's simply to state the truth. You're lost in your sins if you join the church. And that's not my opinion. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. We just saw it. Christ adds the saved to His body. Anybody want to disagree with that? Better not. Now let's go on. The church we're reading about in the Bible, it's blood bought, and it's directed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of truth. Ephesians 5:18-19, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now let's compare Colossians 3:16-17. Parallel passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Means the same thing. Let's go on. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, where? In your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, Of course, in the Lord's church, we worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. One of the avenues of worship is singing, and it's specifically stated. We're not with the choice of what music we want to have in the church. God has stated it's to be singing, specific, and that's what we stay with if we're going to follow the pattern. But the point is, you see, the blood-bought church of the Bible, it's directed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of Truth. And if we don't have the Word of Truth, we're not being directed by the Holy Spirit. That's not true if we're thinking that. But one other point, the blood-bought church of the Bible is in prophecy. And our time is just about gone. And so we won't be able to get into this, and I want to do justice to this point, as the blood-bought church of the Bible is in prophecy. So Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we will continue our study concerning the blood-bought church of the Bible and look at the prophecy in the Old Testament. But right as we close out our study this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a part of the blood-bought church of the Bible? Or have you joined some man-made church, thinking it was the right way to go? We don't want to be thinking. We want to know for sure that we are doing the will of God by staying with the Scriptures. That's our authority for what we do in religion. The New Testament is the law of Christ that we are to follow. We study the Old Testament, but we're not under the law of Moses. That's not where we go for our justification of what we do in our worship to God. Let's stay with the Bible, and we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the Word of God, obeying the gospel of Christ. We'll study together and be sure that this is what God says we must do, not someone's opinion. As we know in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it comes. It can come no other way. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Now, we're ready to repent. Getting out of a sinful life, we're going to follow Christ. We're going to do His will, the Lord's will, not our own. We're going to get out of a sinful marriage if we're in one. We can't stay in adultery and have salvation. So we have to change our will and do God's will. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all also likewise perish. Now we're ready to confess with the mouth unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. And then, having stated Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, we're ready to be immersed. In other words, we're buried underwater. This is called baptism. We're baptized into Christ, into His death. Romans 6:3-6. And then as we come up out of the water, the Lord adds us to His body, the true church. And we thank you so much for listening today.